There's growing calls for Australia to join the United States in boycotting the Beijing Winter Olympics next year. The boycott was prompted by alleged human rights abuses in China, including the detention of over a million Muslim Uyghurs. So, do boycotts actually work? And will this one really achieve anything? Well, Victoria Pengilly is here with the backstory. Hello again, Victoria.
Hi again, Kathy. Well, the Olympics are meant to be free from politics, but that's always been a little bit of a myth. Olympic boycotts stretch back to the 1930s, but today I'm going to take you through some of the most recent cases, starting with the 1980 Moscow Games. It was at the height of the Cold War when 65 countries took a dramatic stand against Russia over its invasion of Afghanistan, a move that was largely led by the United States. Now, at the time, Prime Minister Malcolm Fraser told the Australian Olympic Federation to follow the US's lead.
It is the government's belief that the Australian Olympic Committee and our people will fully understand its reluctance to propose such a serious course, but it is quite satisfied that in the event of the continued occupation of Afghanistan by the USSR, an effective boycott of the Games will bring home to the Russian government and people, perhaps in a way that no other step could.
But the Federation refused, saying sport was no place for politics. Here's the Secretary General of the Olympic Federation, J.L. Judy Patching, in 1980.
Quite frankly, I believe that in times of strife in this earth, that the Olympic movement acts as a balm and a communicator, because I do not see any good in isolating problems. We must always attend to problems with therapeutic means, and one of the great therapeutic means in this world is the Olympic movement.
In the end, around two-thirds of the Australian team went to the Games, and the boycott had no real impact on Russia's occupation of Afghanistan. Angela Schneider is the director of the International Centre for Olympic Studies at Western University in Canada. Here she is speaking with Canada's CBC.
I do think there's far more effective ways of causing change. We know from our experience in the past with the 1980 boycott that the Soviets did not pull out of Afghanistan for at least 9 years. So it was not even successful. And the athletes that were forced to stay home still tell about their experiences to many people, explaining the impact that had on their life, not getting that opportunity to be able to compete, and seeing that it didn't make any change.
The move by the US was largely seen as a political jab, and as expected, Russia retaliated 4 years later when it led a coalition of 14 other countries in refusing to attend the 1984 Los Angeles Games. Russia was again subject to calls for a boycott of its Sochi Winter Games in 2014, this time for two major reasons. First of all, its support of the Syrian government amid a brutal civil war, and secondly, for violent crackdowns on the LGBTI community. Now, the boycott never fully took off, but some Western leaders, including former US President Barack Obama, refused to attend the Games in person. Australian snowboarder Belle Brockhoff used her event in Sochi to speak out about the situation, as did many other athletes.
It's Putin's country and he can do what he likes with the country, but what I'm worried about is the safety for the LGBT community. You know, obviously there's a lot of violence, torturing and like torturing to death almost. And I'm hoping to see change after these games.
7 years later, and there have been no real major changes to LGBTI rights in Russia. Now, we also have the FIFA World Cup, which is technically not part of the Olympics, but is due to be held in Qatar next year. And there's been calls for countries to pull out over human rights abuses there as well. Reports suggest that over 6,000 migrant labourers have died in the course of building stadiums for the event, many from sheer exhaustion, others from being exposed to the heat.
For migrant workers who are involved in labouring work, the working conditions are very, very hard. I've mentioned the heat. Of course, you've got very long hours as well. They often live in labour camps far away from their work site. So beyond their working hours, they travel up to 2 hours each way just to get to their labour camps. And then when they get to their labour camps, they live in often in truly squalid conditions.
That's The Guardian's Pete Patterson speaking with NPR. So where are we today? Well, calls for a boycott of the Beijing Olympics started back in 2015, largely over the country's treatment of Tibetans, but this has grown to include the detention of over 1 million Uyghurs in Xinjiang province. ABC sports reporter Tracy Holmes makes a really good point, which is that while boycotts don't always do much and are largely for political purposes, even talking about them shines a light on human rights abuses.
One of the strange side effects to this is that even though you might take a position that says that country, because of its human rights record, doesn't deserve to host a major event, by actually awarding these events to them and bringing the attention of the world, we start talking about Uyghurs, which we might not be talking about otherwise.
And that's certainly the case this time, Cathy.
Absolutely, and we'll wait to see where the Australian government lands on this one, whether we follow suit. Thanks, Victoria.